It does give me a great deal of pleasure this morning to introduce our speaker, not someone we get a chance to hear very often. Matter of fact, it was 1977, 40 years ago. I do know that the Lord's used him in the course of his life, and I just ask that you'd give him your silent prayers in his behalf, and that he'd be able to be used by the Lord this morning. I give to you a brother, John Gill.
1977. I think I must have passed one day since then, too, but way back. And I'm glad to be here. I'm John Gill. Lived on the hill, never worked, and never will. No. We lived on a hill on a farm in Minnesota. And the farm was a good teacher, how to work. I don't know if it ever made much, but it taught us how to work. How to work together at tasks we didn't necessarily like, but they had to be done. I had some sympathy for our brother's comment about his work and how other people feel he must struggle with that job, whatever it is. It shows us how much influence we have on one another. It makes you start wondering and thinking, and it helps us many times, the opinions of others and others who love us, and we should take that into consideration as we make our decisions about life. I'm very grateful for the choice of 145 here, with our lamps all bright and burning, that the world may catch their rays. So I'm looking at that and thinking, yes, we have to be organized in such a way that the world will be blessed by our presence and want more, because that's what it takes to lead the world. We're commanded in 1 Peter chapter 3, 15th verse, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Very simply, that's a testimony. That little verse says you must bear your testimony and carry it forward for the sake of others who are hungering and thirsting and needing what you have already been blessed with. I was also a teacher for 20 years of my life, and I don't know if they teach it anymore, the three R's, read, recite, and review. So if you want to learn something, you have an excellent computer on the top of your head, better than any that men have made. And it's connected to a biological machine, biological chemical machine. And so it can immediately do work. You can't take a computer and say, go cut the lawn. But be careful around the flowers and be worried about there's a little tree I'm starting out there. You can't feed that into a computer. You could feed it in, but it isn't going to be able to do it. But when something is fed into your computer, you can then do it. So we are much better than any computer ever built. However, we're hard to program. You can't just type it in. It comes in through our ears, our eyes, and kinesthetic, feeling and touch. So when you're learning, and that's what we're doing this morning, when you're learning, you need to put it in as many ways as possible. I'm only speaking with my mouth. I don't have any aids for you today, like is very common these days. So you have to be your own aid. You have to probably open your Bible, your Book of Mormon. You have to think and in your mind apply what's being said. Because I learned when I was in college that if I read it, I'd learn a little bit. If I read it out loud, so my ears hear it, I'd learn a little bit better. But then if I immediately did something, like an experiment or talk it over with somebody else, it was pretty well stuck in my brain. So not that I'm proud and think what I have to offer this morning is that important, but God has given me something that I must bring wherever I'm called this trip, and so I must bring it. I'd like to doctor it up with better scripture references and everything, like we like to do. We're always tempted to feel important, but no, don't need to feel important. So I want first to start off with Alma 16, 28. Now, I'm slow at finding references, so you don't have any problem. I'm kind of slow, too. Alma, what did I say, 16? 228, okay? Alma 16, 228. Behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as you have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that you do not procrastinate the day of life, the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if ye do not improve, we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh a night of darkness wherein there can be no labor. They're going to be, if they don't quite know where we're at, they get an F. That's how I graded reading. Okay. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subject to the spirit of the devil, and he hath thus sealed you his. How far was it going to read? 230. I already passed it. So, today is the day of your repentance. Your time to prepare to meet God. I can do it tomorrow. Oh, he didn't say today. He said this life. So you got a whole life to prepare, to get rid of something you don't like in your heart. You got a whole life. But Johnny just said today is the day of your repentance. Yes, today is the day of your repentance. Am I hooked up to something up here? Okay. Let me show you something. On a lot of homes, you have square tiles, about that big, you know. In our church, we've got them up front on the floor. And so one tile is today. The next tile is tomorrow. I'm going to do it tomorrow. No, it's today. Oh, that tile's tomorrow. Okay, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'll get rid of that tomorrow. I'll make sure to thank her tomorrow. I'll try to get interested in what he does for a living tomorrow. It's today. There is no tomorrow. Today is the day of your repentance. This life, just like this life, is the life to prepare to meet God. There is no tomorrow. The minute you step into that tomorrow, it's today. Just a little thought to keep with, because today is the day to prepare to meet God. In 2 Peter 3:15, I have something I'd like to read. I read it, didn't I? Did I read it? Okay. 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord in all your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer. I want to give you a little testimony about that. It is the testimonies you give. We had in our class this morning, we were talking about, you know, people that doubt and people that maybe fall away and people that might be interested, but the Book of Mormon kind of sticks in their craw. What really helps people to know and see is your testimonies. My mother was baptized in Church of Christ, and she married a man who was not in the Church of Christ. He was not very religious, actually, a very good man, but not very religious. And she was raising her boys. She had three boys growing up, my older brother Glenn, and myself, and Harold. And she had a daughter, too, older than Glenn. And she was praying that the church would send some missionaries to speak to the boys, her children, somehow that there'd be a contact. She'd been years from having been to church, and she didn't know anybody in Minnesota that was, or any church that was there. And she was married in California, and then when the Depression come, Dad had a auto paint shop, and nobody cares about painting their car when they can't buy food, so his business was gone, and his folks lived in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and they were well off. So they said, we'll rent a farm for you. Come on, bring your little family and come back to Minnesota. So they did. And I was just old enough to remember some mauve-colored ceiling material in the car. They had me in a swing across, tied across, a hammock of sorts. And I can just remember that. I was old enough, probably a year older. Anyway, it's all I can remember. And he came back to Minnesota, and Mom was there stranded, and we were growing up, and she was praying. I don't know how many ministry heard her prayer, but I believe in God. I know somebody heard it. Anyway, James E. Yates came with his wife. His second or third wife. Others had passed away. Anyway, and I tell you what, he had diabetes pretty bad. His vision was bothered by it. And here's how he came across the country. I'm getting close, I can tell. I'm getting close to the intersection. Irene says, a little bit more, right there. Stop. Okay, there's a car coming from the right, one from the left. Now, you hear it go by, now you can go. And there's a little turn here. Oh, yeah, I see it. That's how they came across the country from California. What do you use scripture? You had somebody read for them. I feel sorry for the healthy ministry who didn't answer that call, but he answered, and he preached to us in the living room. My dad stayed in the kitchen. He wasn't against, but he wasn't especially for it. And he preached to us about sins, the sins that come upon us, that were the sins that are common to man. And I felt he was talking just about me. I was feeling like I'd like to hide when he was preaching. Thought he was preaching about me. A message, of course, that could go to anyone in the world. Anyway, when he got done with the sermon, I felt really bad, and we had lunch. And then he had kind of an afternoon lunch. Then he had another sermon. And he preached about what to do about it when you feel like you want to repent. You should repent and be baptized. And after you got through with that, I wanted baptism so bad I hungered for it. Because he said, you'll become pure. He'll wipe away your sins. And I knew God was touching me. I was receiving a testimony of his love that he knew and understood my heart. I didn't. Darren baptized a girl down in Honduras one time. And it was out in the river up in the mountains. When he got done with the baptism, she stood up out of the water, come up in the air with her arms and said, oh God, I'm clean. Thank you, I'm clean. That's how I felt a week later when I was baptized. The world needs to know that we believe in this. Our testimonies are important. What Peter said is true. We must have an answer to every man that asks us for a reason for hope that's in us. But in order to do that, we must be spiritually aware, spiritually born, and spiritually active. Spiritually aware, what's that? Aware that there's a God. Aware that we're created physically and spiritually. That we are a living soul, body and spirit. Aware of that. Some people live their whole life and they're not aware of that. Sort of like an animal, like a dog. They aren't aware of all the power that exists in the Spirit of God, that he gave, the Spirit that he gave to us. Because that Spirit can believe in God and through that faith can have power, yes, to move mountains. I've seen that power in action. I've felt it touch me. It's a great power. fear of being repeating myself, I want to tell you one testimony. In Honduras, I'm the only minister, a priest. We have a congregation now. We have meetings, probably 100 coming, and maybe one or two members to church. In the early days when we started meeting in our home, we built an extra porch to accommodate it. We put a canvas over that, and I picked up people in several little villages. And I went to this one village, I was driving out there, and now in order to preach in Spanish, I didn't learn Spanish. In order to preach in Spanish, I have to pray and pray and fast and pray and then study and write it out longhand, like I don't have to do for you, and write it out in longhand, and then I have to have somebody interpret it for me to Spanish, then I have to memorize how to say the Spanish correctly in order to give a sermon. Well, I was coming back from the second town. Already people were there, and I didn't have a message. I knew God wanted me to speak on, I had a message, I knew what God wanted me to speak on faith. We read in 1 Corinthians 13, I forget the verse, but without faith it's impossible to please God. So I guess that's what I'm talking about a little bit today. Anyway, I came back praying. And I stood up to start, because we have our sermon first and study afterwards. I stood up to start, and I said a whole sentence in perfect Spanish. And like I was, and I looked at myself like I was standing there. I had just spoken tongues. That's what it is. I said a whole sentence in good Spanish. And I didn't speak Spanish as well then as I do now. And what I had said was, if you believe in God, all things are possible. And I want to show you that. And then show you that was in my head. So I said, por favor, un sopote abajo, pase por aquí, y jala un silla para sentar. Would a little child down here front come over here and bring a chair and kneel down before us. Yeah, the boy said. See, and he passed over there and he knelt down. And I said, he looked at me first. I said, do you believe if you prayed to God that he would answer your prayer? If you prayed to God for rain, that he would bring rain? Little boy looks at me and said, yeah. So I said, okay, would you pray for rain? It was dry at that time. We were suffering. We have a tin roof. It rained, not much. I don't know where the Lord found that little cloud, but it rained on our roof that morning. And I said, thank you. And he said, and I preached my stumbling Spanish about faith. It was pretty easy with faith because I could read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and because I had a Bible in Spanish and English. And so I read it. Okay, spiritually aware. When that little boy prayed, reality was altered. The reality of that drought, the reality of that empty sky was altered. Once you step out in faith, and through a prayer of faith to God, and reality is altered, you have made that connection between your physical existence and the immortal reality of God, the power of God. That's how you know. That's how the contact is made in your life. So you must reach out. I call it stupid faith sometimes. You must reach out in faith and make that step into the impossible. And when it happens, you know. You're a creature of God. You have the power to lead others to believe in God. You have that great gift that the Lord expects us all to have. You are spiritually aware. But, wait a minute, you got to be spiritually born. What does that mean? Faith, repentance, baptism. You got to recognize your sins that are common to man. Doesn't make you worse than anybody else, but they're there. You have to repent of them and be baptized. Laying of hands for the Spirit of God. Oh, but I've already been baptized. You have to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Oh, God, why did I do that? Why did I do that? I didn't want to be that kind of person. You got to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I'm not going to do that anymore. Help me, God. Help me. You have to be spiritually aware, spiritually born, and spiritually active. Now, that morning, when I drove those people back, I was in the process of trying to serve God, but I had to step out in faith. Can you imagine? I knew in my heart to bring the boy down front, but my neck was out a mile. That's where you got to be, spiritually active, not just physically active, not just reading the scriptures, not developing an opinion or doctrine, but spiritually active until you've put your finger in the river going by and feel the fish or feel the current. You're not really there. You're thinking about it. And some of us spend our lives thinking about it. But we got to be spiritually active. I want to read from 3 Nephi 8. I always have to. Today I know what I got to do. I got to cover some basics, and then I got to bring a message that God wants me to bring. So let's go on basic. Let's go to 3 Nephi 8, 46. 3 Nephi 8. Now, I'm slow enough that all of you can find it. 3 Nephi chapter 8, One reason I'm slow is because my neck won't straighten up anymore, and I have bivocals. So, eight. Okay, 46. 46 through 55. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye keep my commandments, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people, which do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light, Jesus Christ. I have set an example for you. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. Remember, even Christ went out and fasted and prayed and was tempted. For Satan desires to have you, and he will sift you as wheat. Therefore, ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. That's what we sang about in the first song. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. What have we seen Christ do? Repent, be baptized, laying out of hands, pray and fast in the wilderness. He was tempted. We're called to be righteous. But what is righteousness? Righteousness is to choose good. Remember this. Say it quiet in your minds or ears here too. Whatever. Righteousness is that you choose good over evil in the presence of temptation. That's righteousness. Choosing good over evil. And all men have a knowledge of good and evil. Chapter 15 of Alma. All men have the knowledge of good and evil. No one can hide from that, even heathen in the wilderness who never heard about Christ. And you know what? If they choose good over evil, they'll be led and led and led. I once heard a man speak in Chicago to a huge congregation about the need for mankind to be changed from mortality to spiritual. And he came from a tribe in South America that killed whoever came into their area. And they went off stealing wives from other groups whenever they needed to. And one time they were doing that, he didn't go, he hid in the woods. And a missionary came and he met with the missionary. He was led and led and led because he chose good over evil. Until that day, he was speaking before a huge audience about the need for man to change. I wish we'd have found him, but we didn't. So out there in the world, people are being led. We need to lead them. We need to find them. I read about a woman from a book my brother Glenn had in his home. I just picked it up, read it, and it was about a woman from Alaska. She was a new Hewitt, or how do you say the last name?
Inuit?
Yeah. Say it.
Inuit?
Inuit. She was an Inuit Indian grew up with no knowledge of a God. And she wrote this whole book about her life and how it grew. And that she's now living in Bemidji. And she attends the Church of Christ, not our Church of Christ. We missed. How close we missed. It's important to be out there spreading your light. It's important. Repentance is important, of course. But faith, walking out in faith, is very important. Now the message I have to give you today. Let's read Matthew 22, 35 and 36. Matthew 22. Always amazed how small the New Testament is, and it's full of Christ's message. Okay, Matthew 22. You could read it in several days. Couple days. Matthew 22. Maybe you should read it often. You know how many times repetition it takes to put a fact in a human brain? 500 repetitions. Matthew 22. What are you doing? Oh, I'm reading the Book of Mormon again. Oh, why you read it? How many times you read it? I'm reading the Book of Mormon again. 500 times. Matthew 22. Here we are. And verses 35 and 36. Okay. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. 25th chapter of Matthew clearly says, if you do it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. You can't love the Lord unless you love. Oh, well, let's read on. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So you read three verses, and you know the foundation of all the doctrine of Jesus Christ. There it is, the foundation. But how do we do that? How do we? It's a commandment to love one another. Another space it says, well, love one another as yourself. How can you love somebody else as you love yourself when you don't, if you don't really know that person? And I've said this, I preached in Independence, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating, but God has commanded me to give this message. Years ago when I was young, there was this lady, a friend of Mom's, who, very nice lady, she went to church with us, Pritner every week, Pritner every time, but she never would convert. She never was baptized in Church of Christ. And she helped babysit us children on weekends when Mom and Dad had other things to do. And they worked on weekends because he farmed and he did painting jobs and places where he could work in the week but not on the weekend. And we were very poor. I can remember, her name was Matt. I can remember Matt McLean, extremely cold nights in the old house, and she'd take blankets and clothes and poke under the door so the cold air draft wouldn't come in. And she was really a nice lady. One time she went with us to Northern, when we were young men then, and driving the family car, and I had my own car, I think, then. So I wasn't so young. I was 18 or 19. Anyway, she was going up to a reunion in northern Minnesota, and we come away after the reunion, and we're driving back, and she said, and we were rejoicing with newfound love with brothers and sisters, like you do at a reunion, and you're rejoicing. They love me. I love them. You don't say those words, but you have that warm feeling. And she says, you know, you feel warm about a new experience of love among these people, but you don't really know them. It's easy to love somebody you don't really know. When your love is tested is when you really know them. She challenged me. I guess I was a young man at that point. I was ready for the challenge. She challenged me. Do you really know them? And so I thought about it. And the pastor at that local, I didn't know what he did. What did he do with the other part of his life? I knew his spiritual life. That's all I knew. And his family. I didn't know what he did, how he supported himself, anything about it. Years later, now I know that he had solar plant that produced electricity. How's that possible? How's that possible back when I was a young man? Well, they burned wood. They burned wood. It was a power plant that burned wood, and trees have the best solar panels there are. So I'm twisting that a little bit for the fun of it, but he worked in a power plant where they burned wood. And I didn't learn that till later because of her challenge. And he died that summer, somewhere in that summer. And so I never got to share with him about his life. Sort of sad now when I think about it. What do you know about the people, your neighbors? What do you really know about them? We are really called to love one another. And to love even the one that spitefully uses us. How can we love them when we only know just a little bit about them? So, I wrote a poem that helps transmit this thought. To love your neighbor. I could read something in Romans. I'm going to read that first in Romans. Let's see. I think Romans 12. I'm going to read that first. Luke, Romans. Yeah, it's after Acts comes Romans. Romans 12. Bear with me. Okay. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, what did we just get through talking about? Repentance. Watch always to repent. And you must be spiritually aware, spiritually born, and spiritually active. Your body has to be active, serving the spirit world, serving God. Your body can no longer be serving, like Laura said the other night, an addiction with the machine. You could use it as a tool, yes, but you can't be addicted to it. Your body can't be serving using tools for the wrong reason. A car for speed. I love speed, you know. No, you're a changed person. You can't be demanding of your wife, why isn't supper ready? You know, no, you're a different person. We're not the same person we were. We're changed. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In the law of Moses, they sacrificed lambs and other things. God wants us to sacrifice our will, our free will. What did I say? Righteousness was choosing good over evil in the presence of temptation. We have to be doing that at all times. I remember one time we had a fair booth in Minnesota for the Church of Christ. At a fair, we set up a booth and tried to introduce people going by to the Church of Christ. another man had a booth for, it was a Baptist church, had a booth for the same reason. We had the first, and then gradually different years went by. There were other ones had booths. And my wife was serving our booth once, and the other guy's wife was serving their booth. And they had coffee together, and she was asking Nana about her faith. And Nana was asking her about theirs. And she says, well, what do you believe about salvation? So Nana started talking about repentance and obedience and throttling your life down to do what's right. And Nana asked her, well, what do you feel about being saved? And she said, well, I'm saved. She said, and I can't. What do you mean by that? Well, I don't sin anymore because I'm saved. So Nana said, well, about every decision, and they were talking pretty in-depth second time, and Nana says, I really have to pray to God about what I do throughout the day. And the lady said, what? You mean you're not saved? She said, well, I'm saved if I serve the Lord, but I can surely fall away from salvation. Oh, we don't believe that. She said, oh, that'd be horrible. I'd have to be wary every minute. Yeah, yeah. You have to be wary every minute. Praying to God, should I do this or shouldn't I do this? Yes, that's where we're at. That's how we make our bodies a sacrifice. We give up the fact that I'm going to do what I'm going to do without any consideration of the Spirit of God or the Spirit in me that knows good and evil. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we're proving that every day, what is. For I say to you, the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Think of that in the greater sense. Our congregation, we have many members. Each one has a job to do. Each job is important in its own way. That's true in the world, too. And we should be interested in how the other person fits into the world. We should be thinking, oh, that's what you do. Well, that's pretty important. I was talking with Liza. I didn't even know until yesterday that a good part of her life was spent being a nurse. If I didn't ask her, I still wouldn't know. I'd be going off and going to Honduras and thinking Liza had a really nice life. She just, all she had to be was a house mother. No, the housewife, I'm sure, was the toughest. But she had a career too. You know, I remember in the bathroom, it says, faith helps you do anything in the bathroom. That's true. We could, if we're hooked in through faith to that power that built the whole earth, the whole universe, anything's possible. I've written this little poem. I'm going to read it because this is my calling today. I've worked in the field and pasture with the herd. I've even hefted bales and put them up high without one word. I've slopped the hogs and fed the chickens. I've worked in the cold with holy mittens. I've studied in the hallowed halls of the learned and worked to teach the students assembled. But now, when I consider what I can best do, it's to observe my brother, my sister, and you, to watch the work of my fellows, seeing what they can do, to observe their work, their struggles, and understand all they offer to this world we traverse. Taking note and telling them how wonderful what they do fits into God's universe. So now I see my job is so different, but oh, how important. To listen, to see, to appreciate, and let them know that what they do is ever so important to the one before whom we all must go. I hope that helps you understand what God wants me to communicate today. If we're going to love our neighbor or our brother and sister, then we better be interested in their life, in their loves, in their sorrows. That's why when our brother stood up and said he questioned something about his job, he gave me a little piece of his struggle. And in my heart, when I sat there, I said, God help him. That's what we have to do. God is calling us. Now there are people and friends who need our criticism, sometimes our counsel. Yes, that's true. Everything somebody does isn't good. Let's go to, I think it's Galatians. I don't have a note exactly for this, but I think Galatians. Not Ephesians, I think it's Galatians. Chapter 6, yeah. Chapter 6 of Galatians. I'll read a little bit here right from 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Tempted to what? Pride, arrogance. I know what's right. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's far enough to read. So you have to, when you help somebody, you got to do it with the spirit of meekness, or you better just be quiet. Sometimes all you can do is listen. Most of the time, all you can do is listen when people tell you they're false. But what if you don't have time to listen? Yeah, I know. I'll see you. Very important. The new calling that I have, I see, is to listen, to see, to appreciate, and let them know. That's important. That's our calling. And God wants me to tell it for us all to know. That friend of Mom's, that lady, dear lady who's gone from among us many years now, made me wake up. Do I really know the people I claim to love? And if not, how do I get to know? I ask them. I'd be interested. I actually listen, not prepare my next sentence while they're saying theirs, but listen to what they're saying. I want to close with, I think it's Thessalonians or, I don't know, Ephesians or Thessalonians, chapter 4. I think, oh, Philippians. Chapter 4. Colossians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, you can't teach a lesson from this position, I think, until you put yourself in some in the shoes of the listeners. Now, I judged a family once. In my experience, I judged them to be not doing a good job raising their children. I think I was only talking to my wife, but don't matter. I made a judgment. Lately, I've seen that family in an entirely different light. It went over my head. I saw the mother come home tired from a difficult job, sit down on the sofa pulling a blanket over her, and her children crawl under the blanket. And she started talking to them about lessons from her life. I was so wrong. Their life isn't ordered and designed and perfect like mine, but they had the love and the counsel they needed. We need to look at ourselves critically. Am I really serving God or serving myself? Thank you.